Love for mankind. He does not teach with any ulterior motive, such as the desire for wealth or fame. The spiritual leader or prophet who possesses these three qualities can be trusted, and the aspirant who approaches him with humility and reverence is blessed. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These verses have frequently been used to justify a kind of humanistic religion. The humanists interpret the phrase about doing the will of my Father as a command to perform good works in the external world. They say, Lord, Lord, to give the work a touch of emotion, and then go ahead with their social service. They use God as a scavenger to clean out the drains of human society. But there is only one way of doing the will of God, and that is first to realize Him. Until we have done that, we can never know what His will is. This does not mean that we must give up our humanitarian work. If a man is hungry, feed him. If he is sick, nurse him. However, we must do this, not as philanthropy or services to mankind, but as service to God out of love for God. There is a very important distinction between the two attitudes of philanthropy and service to God. Among those who set out to serve mankind, we often find egotism arising. They survey their work, and soon they are saying, without me, everything will go to pieces. Nothing must stand in the way of this work. The world needs me. And then it is not long before they are saying, God needs me. When I first came to this country, I visited a Sunday school class. The teacher had written on the board, God needs your help. Later on, I heard a minister say, we all know that God is not omnipotent. We must help him to gain more power. That is the direct opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that God does not need us. We need him. He taught that the wonderful works we do in the name of God will not enable us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We work iniquity unless we surrender our egos to God and merge our wills in His will. Regarding selfless service, Swami Vivekananda said, it is sheer nonsense on the part of any man to think that he is born to help the world. It is simply vanity. It is selfishness insinuating itself in the form of virtue. The desire to do good is the highest motive power we have if we know that it is a privilege to help others. Do not stand on a high pedestal and take 5 cents in your hand and say, here, my poor man. But be grateful that the poor man is there, so that by making a gift to him you are able to help yourself. It is not the receiver that is blessed, but it is the giver. What can we do at best? Build a hospital, make roads, or erect charity asylums? One volcanic eruption may sweep away all our roads and hospitals and cities and buildings. Let us give up all this foolish talk of doing good to the world. It is not waiting for your or my help. Yet we must work and constantly do good because it is a blessing to ourselves. That is the only way we can become perfect. We think that we have helped some man and expect him to thank us. And because he does not, unhappiness comes to us. Why should we expect anything in return for what we do? Be grateful to the man you help. Think of him as God. Is it not a great privilege to be allowed to worship God by helping our fellow man? Do what good you can. Some evil will inhere in it. But do all without regard to personal insult. Give up all results to the Lord. Then neither good nor evil will affect you. Religion must be neither egocentric nor altruistic, but theocentric. We must center our whole mind upon God, and then, extending our arms to everyone, embrace all in the love of God. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. The rock upon which the wise man builds his house is the rock of spiritual experience. When once you have been face to face with reality, when you stand upon that, then nothing can shake you. Until we have built upon that rock, no matter how strong our faith may seem to be emotionally, we shall be shaken by the storms of doubt, and the house will fall and have to be rebuilt again and again. A Christ, a Buddha, a Ramakrishna arises and says, "I have seen him." No second-hand report, no amount of study, no wealth of eloquence can be compared to the absolute guarantee of first-hand witness which such an illumined teacher brings us. But even the testimony of these illumined teachers, even that is not enough. Their testimony must move us to action. The faith of a person who merely says, "I believe in Jesus," or "I accept Buddha," and does nothing further, is not true faith. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. True faith makes us strive until we too are reborn in spirit and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Actually, to have been present, to listen to the Sermon on the Mount, must have been one of the most tremendous experiences a human being could have. Yet even this was an experience at second hand. And so we find that some of Christ's most intimate disciples were later troubled with doubts. Swami Vivekananda had doubts too, even after long intimacy with Sri Ramakrishna. And those doubts only vanished finally when he directly perceived the truth of God. And so we return to the basic principle that religion is something we ourselves have to do, and be, and live, or else it is nothing. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. I would like to quote a passage from Swami Vivekananda's lecture on Christ. He had no other occupation in life, no other thought except that one, that he was spirit. He was disembodied, unfettered, unbound spirit. And not only so, but he, with his marvelous vision, had found that every man and woman, whether Jew or Gentile, whether rich or poor, whether saint or sinner, was the embodiment of the same undying spirit as himself. Therefore, the one work his whole life showed was calling them to realize their own spiritual nature. "Give up," he said, "these supercilious dreams that you are low and that you are poor. Think not that you are trampled upon and tyrannized over as if you were slaves, for within you is something that can never be tyrannized over, never be trampled upon, never be troubled, never be killed." "No," he declared, "the kingdom of God is within you. You are all sons of God, immortal spirit. Dare you stand up and say, not only that I am the Son of God, but I shall also find in my heart of hearts that I and my Father are one." This is the eternal gospel which every great messenger has taught, and which Christ asks all of us who would be his children first to hear, then to realize for ourselves. Thank you for listening to this Audio Connoisseur production. We are dedicated to bringing the world's finest literature to an audience of discriminating listeners. If you would like to place an order, would like information about our fine products, or if you have questions and comments, please visit our website at www.audioconnoisseur.com. At this website, you may listen to samples from all of our productions. You may send email to information@audioconnoisseur.com or call us toll-free at 866-388-8899. And thank you again. We value every single listener. This production was narrated by Charlton Griffin.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.